Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, The History of the Life of Ajamila, text number 25. Sabara Ridyas Tasmin Arbake Kala Bashini Nirikshamanas Talilam Mumude Jarato Brisham. Sa hi Vadaridaya, being very attached, Tasmin, to that, Arbake, small child, Kalabashini, who could not talk clearly but talked in broken language. Nirikshamana, seeing, tat, his, lilam, pastimes, such as walking and talking to his father. Mumude, enjoyed. Jarata, the old man. Brisham, very much. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Please repeat. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, the older Jamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Purport. Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayana was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, enjoyed the child's activities, because the child's name was Narayana, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayana. Although he was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayan. The name of Narayana is so powerful that even by chanting the son's name, he became purified. He was becoming purified. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Vakevalam. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or another attracted by the holy name of Krishna, tasmat kenap yu payena manak Krishna niveshayat, one is on the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society, parents to give their children names like Krishna Das, Govinda Das, Narayana Das and Vrindavana Das. Thus they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, and Vrindavana, and get the chance to be purified. So the text again. Sabara Ridyas Tasmin Arbake Kala Bashini Nirikshamanas Taldilam Mude jarito brisham. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child, enjoyed the child's activities. In these verses, there's glorification not only of the holy names but of Nama Bas. There are three types of chanting in general. There's Nama Parad, there's Nama Bas, and Shudanam. And then it may go further into Bhavanam, Premanam, according to how we're chanting. There's something called Nama Bas. that doesn't mean that anyone chants Hare Krishna automatically chants the Nama Vas. Or that if you name your child Narayan and you call for him at the time of death, then the Vishnu Dutas are guaranteed to come and save you. There are many factors, but Prabhupada's trying to indicate, as Shukadev Goswami is trying to indicate, the power of the holy name. If we go into all the different factors, then we may start doubting the power of the holy name, that it's only powerful under certain circumstances. Which is, the holy name is always Krishna, Namas Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purno Shudo Niti Mukto, Vinatvam Nama Namino. That Krishna and Krishna's name, Vinatvam Nama Namino, there's no difference. But then again, it is not that Krishna is not already present, he's in our heart. He's also in every atom. And all this energy is his energy, and we're all partial expansions of it. So it's not that when we chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna is there, and he wasn't there before. He's always there. And he's there as much as we actually want him to be there. For us, he's there, but it doesn't mean that we're necessarily aware of his presence. Hiranyakashipu was not aware of the presence of Lord Nrisimhadev in the pillar. But when he hit the pillar, he became very much aware of Lord Nrisimhadev's existence there. Similarly, our aim is to become aware of Krishna. Now, Shukadeva Goswami, Pariksha Maharaj was quite disturbed at the end of the fifth chapter, fifth canto, that people are going to suffer in hellish conditions. Now, of course, in Kali Yuga, we don't have to go to hell to suffer in hellish conditions. You just have to, well, it doesn't take very much. Go outside, breathe the air in most places, listen to the noise. You just go on the internet, you'll soon be in hell. If you hit the wrong button, then even the Yamadutas avoid such places. So it doesn't take much in Kali Yuga to find ourselves in difficulty. So Pariksha Maharaj was concerned because he's a soft-hearted Vaishnava, and Vaishnavas are paraduka duki. They feel unhappiness when they see others' unhappiness, and they work for everyone's happiness. Indeed, Pariksha Maharaj was sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, about to be bitten by a snake bird, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is all arranged for our benefit. Pariksha Maharaj, Krishna, realizing that this is Kali Yuga coming up, he had to give us transcendental knowledge in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to take advantage of the holy name. Because, as I said, we have to learn how to chant the holy name. Of course, it's not we just take a class and we learn how to chant the holy name. It's not an academic subject matter. There may be technicalities to it, like Prabhupada said, move our lips and our tongue. But then, and just like we eat prasad, there's also, we know we generally move our lips and tongue then too. But there's more to it than that. But at least it's a start to follow some direction. But as a matter of fact, the entire literature is all to help us offenselessly chant Hare Krishna, so that we realize that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. But that's the subject matter of all our literature, and therefore something specifically is being pointed out here about what is the power of the holy name under these particular, especially these circumstances, where one is unaware of the power of the holy name, And we, Ajamiya, although he was very sinful, still he wasn't offender to the holy name. He wasn't chanting Hari, the holy name, at the time of death, or even when he was calling for his son, in order to get free from his sinful activity, the reaction to his sinful activities. He was doing it out of affection for his son, who he happened to name Narayan. Now, if he would have thought, I have this little son, and let me chant Narayan, and every time I chant, all my sinful reactions will go away, so it's a good deal. I get two in one. Narayan comes, and my sinful activities go away. But he wasn't thinking like that. Similarly, at the time of death, he wasn't thinking, let me chant the name of Narayan, and then these horrible people will go away. Maybe he was. Maybe he thought, my little son will come and kick them away, but I doubt it. But simply out of affection, he was chanting the name of Narayan. And if we offenselessly chant, then it's much more likely that we'll remember Krishna, which indeed he did. Not only he remembered his son, but eventually he remembered his previous service to Narayan, and because of that the Yamadutas came, because he was chanting with some feeling. Just like if you, a baby, if it's just calling its mother, if it was indifferent, Matka, that's Russian. What do they call mother here? Just mama. What's that? Matka? Mati. Mommy. Mommy is more common. It's more familiar, I guess. So imagine the little baby going, Mommy. Then the mother's not going to think it's very serious, but goes, Mommy. With some feeling, then Mommy thinks that maybe I should find out what's going on. So similarly, we may be chanting Hare Krishna every day, 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then periodically checking our counterbeats, making sure they're falling down one way or the other. And breathe a sigh of relief after the last one falls down, thinking, now I'm liberated. So that kind of chanting, of course, won't attract Krishna. Imagine going back to the spiritual world and everyone else is deeply in love with Krishna and you just hope you get prasadam every day. You chant your rounds there too, because otherwise you're afraid they may not give you anything to eat. So similarly, when we're chanting, at least we should try to chant in Namabhas, not thinking of all the benefit we're getting sitting down here, because otherwise why would I do it? I get nothing when I chant, and therefore I'm thinking about maybe I'm getting some benefit in the future, some agyata sukriti, because I don't get any benefit now. And therefore, as soon as we think like that, our mind wanders to so many subject matters, to plan out our day, our week, our month, our lifetime, next lifetime, where we're going. Then we started thinking about the past, all the mistakes I made. If I can get it into my time machine and go all the way back, I can begin all over and have a perfect life in this lifetime. So this is all called Namaparat, which is quite different from Namabhas. The worst Namaparat is when we think, well, actually, like the Mayavadis, they chant in Namaparat. In the beginning, our Kirtan group, our Harinam Sankirtan, was the only mantra chanters in the Western world. And we go out in Harinam, and gradually that diminished in many parts of the world. And although Srila Prabhupada was the originator of these mantra chanting in the Western world, somehow or another, these other yoga groups became enthusiastic to chant, because after all, putting your foot behind your head becomes a little boring. Especially if sometimes you break your foot trying to do it. Maybe there's something higher than your foot. So they become attracted to chanting to see what that's like. Of course they chant Om Shivaya Namaha, whatever, Durga Ma, whatever they can come up with. And even the devotees started to get into chanting so many different mantras in so many different ways. But because they have the wrong conception when they're chanting, therefore their chanting is considered nam aparad. And the more they chant, the more offensive they are, the more they become degraded. Even in Krishna Leela, Lord Balaram pointed out, or Krishna, Lord Krishna pointed out to Lord Balaram, see these trees, in the last lifetime they had the impersonal conception of life. They wound up as trees. They didn't merge in Brahman or become nothing. They became trees. So anyone who wants to become a tree, you can join one of these bhajan groups and chant Krishna's name and Durga's name and Shiva's name and think that you're a god. And you'll become degraded to the point that you may become a tree in your next lifetime if you're a little pious. Because degradation knows no limits in Kali Yuga. And why is that? Because the more offensive we are, the further we go from Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna consciousness. Ye tamam prapayante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. It's not that when we chant offenselessly, then Krishna appears. Krishna is always there, as I said. It's just a question of where we are on the spectrum. If we're if we're going towards realizing Krishna, then we experience more what's actually going on. And if we go away from Krishna, then we become less and less conscious of reality. And as in order to become less and less conscious of reality, or according to what our consciousness is at the time of death, what position reality are, we get a suitable body. To continue our, well, Krishna gives us lower species of life to stop our degradation. If we become a tree, you can't become anything lower in your next lifetime because you have no opportunity to commit sinful activities as a tree. You're just standing there. What can you do? You know, nice attractive lady comes by and you wave your branch. She's not going to recognize you or acknowledge your wave. Hi. There's nothing you can do. You're stuck as a tree. And all you can do is go up until you get to the uniform of life. But in the uniform of life, there's every possibility, especially in Kali Yuga, of degrading yourself the maximum possible. Otherwise, how does someone become a germ? You must be doing something quite significant to become a germ. And there are so many germs. I'm sure in our bodies alone, there are more germs in our own individual body than there are probably people on this planet. So how did all these souls become germs? Because in Kali Yuga, they had great opportunity to degrade themselves. And we haven't. We were only 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. And this is just the Sunday of Kali Yuga. We're not really into Kali Yuga yet. This is the beginning of the Golden Age. So we have, and already we're seeing things that are almost unbelievable. And it's going so quickly. We wonder, what is the future after, especially after the Sunday, after the Kali Yuga, the Golden Age of Kali Yuga is, what are people going to do? So the highlights like eating, having children, just eat them. It's like they're eating each other. and we can't imagine what else they're doing. So, the point is, if we have a human form of life, we can become degraded. And one of the quicker ways to become degraded is to actually become averse to Krishna. That's guaranteed that you're going to become degraded. Because the only possible elevation is to become favorable towards Krishna, or to give up our enviousness towards Krishna. The whole root cause of material existence is enviousness against Krishna. So if we cultivate enviousness against Krishna, then we're sure to become degraded as rapidly as possible. Because if we can't get any happiness from being Krishna conscious, or even being conscious of reality, and we're seeking happiness in things that take our minds away from Krishna, then that will definitely bring us into the lowest modes of material nature. So Namaparad is not recommended. Therefore, we should know what Namaparad is, and we should avoid it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that if we chant Hare Krishna and Namaparad, instead of watering the Bhakti Lata Bij, the plant of pure devotional service, we're actually watering our anarthas. And they'll grow up, and eventually they'll strangle the Bhakti Lata Bij. So it's not that somehow or another we got our beads, we may have even gotten a initiated name, etc., etc. Therefore, I'm on the safe side, and I'm just chanting Hare Krishna because I'm accumulating pious activities. So I'll go to progressively higher and higher heavenly planets and meet nicer and nicer apsaras there and demigods. So let me keep on chanting. And at the time of death, then who knows what planet I'll wind up and how long I can stay there for. Now we should understand that chanting is actually also a serious business. It's not that I have the good fortune of having beads and chanting regularly, and therefore my life is already successful. Nothing bad can happen to me. Bad things happen to bad people, but I'm a good person, so nothing bad could happen to me. But actually, it's already happened to us. We're already in the material world. We're already covered by a material body. We already have a material consciousness. And material energy, yogas chalati manasa, is very intent in trying to derail us from the path of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we start chanting or take to the path of bhakti. Material nature says, very nice, I quit. Put my hands and I surrender to you. Whatever you want, I give you. No, as soon as one tries to take to the path of devotional service, the Maya will try to attract our minds by so many different allurements. And the same old trick is there since time immemorial, and it always works. Women and wealth, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, they've been able to distract even the greatest rishis from the path of self-realization. Vishvamrita Muni, he got distracted after 60,000 years of meditation. Not only distracted once, he got distracted twice after 60,000 years of meditation. So what to speak of our poor selves? We think, how long have you been a devotee? 40 years. Oh my God, so long. You must be self-realized by now. And if you ask Vishvamrita Muni, how long have you been meditating? 60,000 years. Oh my God, where can you be? But he fell down after 60,000 years. And then after another 60,000 years, after being in Maya for over 100 years, then he sat down to meditate again. And after another 60,000 years, he fell down this time due to anger. First time due to lust, then due to anger. But at least he wasn't fooled after the third 60,000 years. Then Lord Brahma came and gave him second initiation. So at least he became a Brahmin. So we should be careful. Nama Parad, perhaps imperceptibly, when we chant a Nama Parad, is covering our Bhakti Lata Beach, our creeper, our identification with Krishna and as being Krishna's servants, which is the basic starting of actually favorable devotional service. If Krishna is present and we just neglect him, we don't pay attention to him, then what could be worse than that? If the wealthiest, most beautiful, strongest, most intelligent, most merciful person comes before us, we say, I don't have time for you. Maybe you can come back later. I have so many other things to do right now. Imagine, even if the president of Slovenia came into the temple room now, and everyone just ignored him. Oh, who's that guy? Who's this president? Oh, I say, come back later. We don't have time for you. It wouldn't be very favorable what to speak with the Supreme Person. Therefore, we have a duty when we're chanting to at least try to chant a Namabhas, to pay attention. We may not understand everything about Krishna. We may not have the greatest feeling, but at least we should pay attention. And then if we pay attention, then gradually we'll make progress. Then what Prabhupada was talking about, imperceptibly, agyata sukriti will work if we just try to pay attention. And then if we pay attention, then there's some possibility of remembering Krishna giving us the intelligence to put a little feeling into it. But if we're not even willing to pay attention, then while Krishna, listening to Krishna, becoming conscious of Krishna, how will he remind us to put any feeling into what we're doing? And unless we put any feeling into it, then we won't become Krishna conscious. Krishna will only reciprocate according to our feeling, because our feeling and our attention are intimately related to each other. Because just by trying to pay attention, it means that we're feeling something. We're never not feeling, unless we're in deep, deep sleep, then we're not feeling. But the minimum feeling is to pay attention, and then Krishna will give us intelligence how to chant with more and more feeling, and what are the obstacles to chanting with attention and feeling, so we can improve. But if we don't even try to chant with attention, we don't even try to chant, then how is Krishna going to give us any intelligence how to improve our chanting, because we're not even on the minimum platform? Of course, Krishna will give us some help. He'll slap us. The material nature will come and slap us around until we're begging Krishna for some mercy. And then Krishna says, well, why don't you chant with some attention? Oh, that's too simple. Give me some mercy. I just want mercy so I can go back to my normal life again. I don't really want your, philosophical advice to me. I just want your mercy. So we have to be careful that Krishna's mercy is also coming in the form of telling us how to chant Hare Krishna and then actually taking it up so that we don't have to find ourselves in the position of Ajamil, that we leave the Hare Krishna movement, we wind up doing all kinds of sinful activities, and then we're hoping that we get a child and name him Narayan, and then at the time of death, when the Yamadutas come, somehow or another it's going to work out that offenselessly I'm going to chant the holy name with great feeling and I'll be saved. And if it doesn't work, then I'm in trouble. So we shouldn't take this as our model devotee in Kali Yuga. This is the standard. We chant Hare Krishna for some time, then we look for someone to fall down with, and then we fall down and just hope that then we have all kinds of children. Hopefully we have some child, at least one, to name Narayan. And then at the time of death, we just hope everything works out according to the Bhagavad Gita. That's my path. Now, this is an example to show us if we chant a Namabhas, then we might get some intelligence. So eventually, even without the Yamadutas coming, we'll understand the importance of chanting in Shuddha Nam, or as Ajamil realized, by a very hard lesson. So hopefully we won't have to go through these hard lessons to learn that. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
One question, like if we're on the street and we meet someone who's really interested in hearing the glories of the holy name, but he's like, you're there surrounded by people who are envious of Krishna. So what?
Well, I don't know. I distributed books for many, many decades, and well, so for some decades, I don't really ever remember meeting anyone on the street who came there to hear the glories of the holy name.
Like your
tell him to come to the temple.
Okay.
I mean, generally, if we're talking about when you're distributing books or something, or just tell him something. What is anyone going to understand on the street about? The best way of doing it is to come to the temple and chant the holy name, hear from the devotees. I mean, how much have we realized the glories of the holy name? How long are we going to be able to discourse? Ask your friend, do you have 3 hours? Because I know so much about the holy name. We'll have to sit here for 3 hours and I'll tell you the glories. No, I mean, you can tell them something. As far as being surrounded by envious people, I wouldn't worry about that. All the envious people, he's talking about the holy name. Get him! Kali Yuga hasn't advanced so far. I think most places we can safely chant about the holy name and people won't crowd around. Oh, devotee, get him. Throw him into a pot of burning oil. Got an elephant around to stomp on him. Most people are innocent. Most people are indifferent to the holy name. That's the main problem. Not that they're against the holy name. Most people are just indifferent to it. Anything else? Yes.
If you sincerely try to mantra, to chant Hare Krishna, and then you catch yourself thinking something else. For example, some bad thoughts that you're angry on someone, or some thoughts about a woman or something like that. Is it better to stop chanting?
No, Krishna says, wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we should bring it back to... When we find out we're doing something wrong, we shouldn't stop it. It's like you find out that you're in the ocean. So the remedy is not to dive deeper into the ocean. That won't help you very much. It's to try and get aboard the ship. That will save you. So we're already in the ocean of material desires. When we find out we're in the ocean, we should try to get on the safety of the board of the holy, and board the holy name. Yes.
There is a place where Srila Prabhupada suggests that you chant 16 rounds on beads and on beads and unlimited rounds in your mind throughout the day.
You have to show me that.
And it seems that we are encouraged to chant all the time, at any rate.
Yeah, Kirtani Yaksudahari, that's Lord Chaitanya. But I never, after reading Prabhupada's books a number of times, I never came across. Generally speaking, I appreciate if you can show me that, but generally speaking, Prabhupada said you can, even at the time of initiation, sometimes he said you can chant as many rounds as possible, but mental rounds, I mean, I personally was there at a lecture where Prabhupada discouraged that.
My question is not about the mental rounds, but about chanting all the time while doing something else. So that would... obviously be inattentive chanting. It seems we are encouraged, Kirtaniya Sadhari, chant all the time. Then I will be doing something else and the name might be somewhere in the background.
No, that's not our process is become Krishna conscious. Just like we're driving, we don't encourage people to chant on clickers or beads when they're driving. So... the process of remembering Krishna, the beads are to help us remember Krishna. So that process has been given to be conscious, to have the proper siddhanta. So once we have the proper siddhanta, that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore I should use it with everything I have with care and attention in Krishna's service, then I find out what Krishna wants me to do and what Krishna's representatives want me to do. Then when I do it to please him, Krishna, because they're his representatives and they're telling me how to please Krishna, when I do it to please Krishna, then naturally I'll think about Krishna. So it's not that the only way we'll remember Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. We'll remember Krishna also when we do our services with care and attention. Otherwise, then we have to explain how Prabhupada, you know, was talking to people. Why would he waste his time talking to people if we're supposed to chant? And he didn't say, "Hello, sir, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Oh, what are you doing? Hare Ram, Ram, Ram." But he was always Krishna conscious. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't, he said, "Kirtani Eksadahari," always glorify Krishna. So everything is an expansion of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. So one who sees like that, whatever they're doing, if it's actually in Krishna consciousness, will be, in one sense, chanting Krishna's names, because everything is an expansion of Krishna's name. And if we're utilizing Krishna's energies to glorify him, to spread Krishna consciousness, that's really not different from chanting the holy name. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam, it is an expansion of the holy name, of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. And we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not different from chanting the holy name. And the result is, spontaneously, whatever we're doing, we will remember Krishna. Just like a person's working in an office, he has a picture of his wife and child and his dog, and he's working, and he's remembering his wife, child, and dog. Not necessarily in that order, but because there's some love, therefore he'll remember them. So if we work for Krishna out of love, then we'll remember his name, form, quality, and pastimes, because that's eventually we'll get the realization that there's nothing but that. Bhavanam jamanamante gyanamamam prabhadite vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many births and deaths, one who is acknowledged to me surrenders into me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So we'll only see Krishna, and therefore we'll always be remembering Krishna. And whatever we say will be equal to chanting the holy name. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.